Well, good morning. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be starting this morning. I'm thankful to God for this opportunity to bring you part of His Word. And maybe no surprise, this first sermon of the month is connecting to our theme of the month and theme of the year. This blue slide template behind me is kind of a key that we're still in that theme. And the colors are so much more visible now. Before, I never knew exactly what on my screen is going to look like behind me. Now with the new projector and stuff, it looks great. So now you can criticize my color scheme and be right on when I make ugly slides. So we're talking this month about prayer. And what I want to get across, what I'd really like to hit home today, apart from just the main point of the sermon, which is to be watchful in prayer, besides that main point, I really want us all to walk away and remember that prayer is really part of the armor of God. We sing in the song, Stand Up for Jesus, it says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. I want us to see this very clearly today, that the armor of God includes being prayerful. We're going to see that. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, after all the pieces of the armor have been described, and we see piece by piece listed there for us, the next thing Paul says in the same breath, it hasn't even started a new sentence yet, Paul tells us we need to be praying all the time to combat the devil. That's what we see. So Ephesians 6, I have, you know, a 6 through chapter 6, verses 11 through 18 here on the screen. I have it jump forward some verses just for it to fit on one slide, but look here at the first section. If you've been with us this year, hopefully you remember this. What's the whole point of putting on the gospel armor? To stand in the evil day. To be able to withstand the temptations of the devil when he's attacking us. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's the point. Not, you know, to be happy for the day, not some other thing. It's to be able to withstand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And so we've hit on that. That's the whole point. When the devil's attacking, for us to get through in that evil day, that extra difficult day, those crises in our life, to withstand in that day. So then he jumps forward and says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So then he starts going through the individual pieces of armor. And we've been hitting on that this year. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. So he starts here, okay, so put on this. We're getting the picture of it. And then we get here to the end of the list. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the last technical piece of armor here. That was last month's theme. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. So did you catch that? That not a new sentence. He says, put on and take, receive, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times. And I think that there's even a link there. You take the sword of the Spirit, praying at all times in the Spirit. So there's even a link there. You see that? Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. So, we're going to talk about this in today's lesson, praying at all times. And this is an important goal for Christians to be working on in the most general sense of praying all the time, praying constantly during the day. This idea of constant, regular, healthy communication to God in our praying. In our life. This is what I'm aiming for. This is what I'm trying to grow in, to be more like the people in the Bible that model this kind of thing for us. You know, it's kind of natural to talk to someone who's in the room with you. It's natural to talk to, you know, my kids are in the room, my wife's in the room. You know, they don't like it if I'm in the room, you know, for hours with them. What if I just ignore them that whole time? Well, that doesn't make sense. But maybe we do that with God, where God's with us, but not living before Him, not thinking about God, and then not communicating with God as I go through life. So this is my aim. My goal is this constant, regular, good prayer, healthy communication to God. And Paul mentions about 4 or 5 times in his letters, this idea of pray all the time. Philippians 4 is a little bit in the fence. I'll include it here for you to consider that. But at least 4 strong times, Paul says, pray all the time. We just saw that in Ephesians 6, 17, just to show that again. But then look at these other verses where Paul says, pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you catch it in there? He says 3 things, and the second one, rejoice always, and then pray without ceasing. And maybe we don't talk that way every day, but if you do something without ceasing, that's you don't stop. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Always giving thanks. Giving thanks in all circumstances. And so here's another verse. Paul saying to always be praying. Rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. This is God's will for us. Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. That's the idea, to always be doing that. And then Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That brings us to the lesson, kind of a key idea today, being watchful in prayer. And so we'll come back to this again. But you see that he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. So there's 4 verses where Paul keeps saying, pray all the time. And basically he says that in Philippians 4, verse 6, the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He doesn't technically say here, pray all the time. What he says is, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer, with asking God in supplication, with thanksgiving, let those requests be known. So you see that he's kind of saying, in all that you're doing, make sure you're praying. So it's kind of the same point here. So let's say that 5 different times in these passages, Paul's saying, pray all the time, pray without ceasing, continue steadfastly in it, be constant in prayer. And then we'll come back to Colossians 4, 2, be watchful in prayer. That's what we need to be doing in our life. So this is our goal. Not only does Paul say that, Paul lived it out. Paul would tell people how he prayed, and that would show up. For example, here's just a couple passages from 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you. We give thanks to God always for you. Constantly remembering you in our prayers. Constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith. So here in chapter 1, he says, we give thanks to God for you all the time. And he recently converted these people. He just got kicked out of town from the enemies of the gospel. So they're fresh on his mind. But he's saying, we're thanking God always for you. This is the second letter of the whole book. I mean, the book just started. Constantly mentioning you, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith. And then you get to chapter 2, verse 13. He says, we also thank God constantly for this. That when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. So they're thanking God constantly for those things. And do you see that? Paul was constantly thinking about them and constantly praying for the Thessalonians. And here's a couple other verses from the Bible that just kind of emphasize this. Luke 18, 1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And Jesus is about to give a parable there. Always pray is what Jesus is about to teach them in Luke 18. What about Psalm 86, verse 3? Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. What a great thought. I'm crying out to God all the day. So we can see this is clearly this biblical idea to be strong in prayer, to be mindful in prayer, be constant, and we've seen different things, right? Sometimes it was be watchful in prayer. Sometimes it was being thankful to God, rejoicing always, or as I'm going through life, these things that might make me anxious, I in everything by prayer and supplication make my requests known, and then God helps me, grants me peace through these things to not be anxious. So different things. It's not just constantly be asking God for things. Sometimes it might be being constantly thankful to God or being joyful in things like them. So praying at all times. When we pray at all times, when God's more on my mind, I'm thinking more about God and living life before God, that's only going to grow my relationship with God. I'm not going to turn to all these verses, but they're good verses to consider. It helps us to lean on God more, to trust in Him more and rely more on Him, leaning on God as I'm going through life. It helps me to cast my cares upon God, to be less anxious. And here's something that I'm burdened with, and so I throw that on God. I'm not carrying it anymore like the garbage bag that is my problems. I cast that on God. So I'm not carrying that burden anymore. And then I see prayers being answered. Paul talks about that. Corinthians, you pray for me, so that when we see answers to prayers, there's a lot of thanksgiving as prayers are being answered. And then I'm starting to see God as an actual person. I think that's a good step forward in our faith. We know that God's a person. And that doesn't mean that our prayers are treating God, you know, we've talked about that, treating God like some cosmic vending machine that I push the buttons and He gives me what I want. I don't mean we're thinking of God that way, but I think it's still another step. Just remember, He's a real person. Here, Ephesians 4:30, they grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, our sins can make God sad, treating God and thinking of Him as a person. So all of this, be more prayerful. And we'll have more lessons on prayer this month, God willing, as we're looking here at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Treating God as a person and leaning on Him and seeing Him answer prayers, praying all the time, that's the goal. Okay, so let's bring this back to Ephesians 6. That's talking about this idea of praying at all times, Ephesians 6:17. Praying at all times in the Spirit. That's the general idea. We need to be praying all the time. But I want us to go back to Ephesians 6 here and see that that's not exactly the point of Ephesians 6. Just, oh, and remember to pray all the time. Let's remember the context of Ephesians 6. What I want us to remember is what we were talking about a minute ago. The whole point of the armor of God section is to help us to stand against the devil. The whole point of this verse is put on the breastplate of righteousness and take that shield of faith and the sword of God so that you can stand. And in the evil day, you can stand praying at all times. And so this is not a general instruction, a reminder to be praying all the time. It's saying to withstand against the devil, be praying at all times. We need to see this instruction in Ephesians 6:17, pray all the time. That's connected with temptation. Do we see that? That's connected with being able to stand against the devil and for us to do what we need to do when that temptation comes. In other words, don't think of Ephesians 6:17 as just another reminder to be more prayerful. Oh yeah, armor of God. Oh yeah, and also, random thought, be more prayerful. These are connected. This is a reminder to be strong, helpful to be strong against temptation by being strong in prayer. And I don't want us to think this way. Like, I woke up in the morning, and I had some devotional time, and that was good. I prayed, and I read my Bible, and I kind of felt myself putting on that armor again. And then, so when I was done with that, and I went to do the next thing, you know, I put that off. That's not how this armor works, right? We know this. I need to put those reminders in my schedule, and then I arm myself with the shield, and with the helmet, and with the sword, but I can't take that off. And I carry that with me through the day. I take the shield so that that's now with me in the next 5 minutes, in the next 5 hours, and as I go through the day. And that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, I keep that with me, right? I mean, that is with me all day long. I'm not putting that down at any point. And so doesn't that make sense then that as I go through this day, I'm praying at all times because I'm holding on the shield of faith at all times and I'm keeping the Word of God in me at all times. I want us to jump off this phrase from Colossians 4, verse 2, be watchful in prayer. And this idea shows up in other verses. Look at this, Matthew 26:41. This was our scripture reading. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. See that Jesus says, be careful. Peter, disciples, be watchful in prayer. Watch and pray. That's what they need to be doing. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Don't let prayer be a silly thing, a flippant thing, a mindless thing. He says, be self-controlled, be sober-minded. That's going to help your prayers. Your prayers are going to help you and all those things. The next chapter, 5:8, he doesn't mention prayer. But he mentions this idea of being sober-minded again. And then he mentions being watchful again. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So you see that? We're combining all these things. Be watchful in prayer. Watch and pray. Be self-controlled, sober-minded, because the devil's prowling about to devour you, to destroy you. And so if we leave ourselves unarmed, he's going to be able to get us. So here's my question. Let's think about this. What does it mean, be watchful in prayer? Nice bumper sticker. Be watchful in prayer. Put that in your wall. What does that mean? What does that mean for us to be watchful in prayer? Let me suggest it by offering some hypothetical scenarios, okay? You get up in the morning, and you take time to pray, and you pray about all kinds of random things, right? So thank you, God, for the rest last night, and please bless those who are traveling and the sick, and bring peace to the world, and bless my kids. Amen. And then you go off about your life. Now, is time in prayer good? Yes. But that kind of shotgun prayer where it's kind of like about everything, is that being really watchful in prayer, looking for the devil? It's not. That's my suggestion to you, is that's not really being watchful in prayer. Okay, so then when you get to work, or if you are going out to school, or heading out that way, and for some of us, you're work is at a school. So you get out to your work, and there's tons of temptations, right? There's lust there. There's things that will make you angry. There are people that are going to make you upset. You have pride, and you realize you haven't been handling things right, or temptations to not be honest. So you get to work, or you get to school, and you see these temptations, or on some level, you realize they're going to be there. But and when you have a few minutes, you have a little bit of free time, You pull out your phone and look at ESPN and look at the big game last night and some highlights and evaluations of how the teams did. Now, there is nothing wrong with pulling out ESPN and looking at articles about the game last night. We all need a brain break. I need that. You need that. The point is you can't do that. The point is, are we aware of temptations that are there? And so do I need a prayer break? Do I need a prayer break more than I need a brain break? Or can I take more time for the prayer break? And can I be more watchful in the prayer break? And when my brain needs other kinds of rest, that's fine. That's fine. God gives us things to enjoy. But am I taking a prayer break? Am I thoughtful of the fact that I've got 5 minutes here, and there's something big coming up I should be thinking about and anticipating and praying for, being watchful in prayer for when that comes? So that's the negative. Those are not good examples of being watchful in prayer. How about this? When you get up in the morning, you pray about all the temptations you know are going to come your way that day. You're thinking, oh, there's that meeting, and there's that guy in the meeting, and I need to be careful and be praying about that. And when you have those 5 minutes again, taking that, I'm maybe getting ahead of myself, using your morning prayer to be thoughtful about the day, and maybe not even the things that are particular today, like a meeting. What if it's just, I know my struggle has been anger with the kids. Or I know my struggle has been lust. Not because today's any different, but because today is me. Today's my life. And so I need to be mindful of those things. How about this? When you get to work or school, where there are tons of temptations, you spend your free time praying and reading your Bible to find encouragement. Because you know you, and you know those challenges that are ahead. Is that being watchful in prayer? Is that being vigilant in those things? To use Paul's words, praying all the time, being constant in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with the prayer and in supplications, bring your requests to God. That's the idea. Be watchful in prayer. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to take the next few minutes here to connect this idea of being watchful in prayer, armor of God, each piece put on with prayer. I want to connect this to the sermon from last month where we talked about how the flesh fights us. And there we talked about when the flesh is fighting us, arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit. Today I want to connect that with prayer. Jerry had the announcements after that sermon, and he said, what I would like, you know, add to that lesson is prayer is a useful tool. And that's absolutely right. This lesson is kind of Jerry's point. Let's add prayer to that formula of when the flesh is fighting you. Here's the pattern that we talked about in that sermon from last month. First of all, when the temptation comes, we fixate, right? We want that thing. That we highlighted some different common scenarios. Do you remember how David was an example of each of those? We talked about lust. And we fixate on the thing, I want that thing, that's David and Bathsheba, and this is what I want. Or anger, that was David with Nabal. I'm going to kill that guy. We zoom in, we fixate, this is the thing I want. And then we forget all these other things, right? I'm not listening to my conscience, I'm not listening to you. And all these things I'm supposed to remember, like the Ten Commandments, right? Like doing the right thing, like mercy, justice, goodness. All those things are out the window. All the verses I was looking at this morning, if I'm not careful, that's out the window. I fixate and I forget. All that's blurry. We talked about zooming in, right? That kind of laser focus we get on the thing. And then we give in to the folly if we're not careful. And so whatever it is where the flesh is fighting us, and this is how the flesh fights us so often, so commonly. Fear was the other big one we talked about. We talked about lust and anger and fear. And again, David, that example, how many times he gave in to fear instead of trust, forgetting all the ways that God had blessed him, forgetting all the ways he should handle these situations with integrity. But whether your thing is anger, lust, fear, or some other thing, this is how the flesh fights us. You may remember that from the lesson. And then this was the slide at the very end of the lesson. And we talked about how to fight that. And these were the three R's. Number one, recognize that it's happening. That's so huge. And I'm giving into anger again. Oh, whoa. I'm giving into anger again. Let that be a red flag, right? Recognize this is happening again. And you know what? Remember that sermon, I'm forgetting some things? What is it that I'm forgetting? Oh, yeah. What's that verse? Okay, you know, you recognize what it is. Recognize you're not thinking wisely. Recognizing that you're rejecting these attempts from others, your conscience, whatever, to do the right thing because you want your thing, right? And you're honed in on that. That's where we need to remember God's word. Because when I'm zoomed in and I'm forgetting everything, I don't have time to search my phone to find the verses. I need God's word hidden in my heart so that I won't sin against him. I need to remember, when that happens, I need to tell the truth. I need to do that. And I have my verse ready to go. That was the point, right? Putting God's word right there, having the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, ready to use, even though I'm hungry, scared, sad, angry, you name it. I need to use that sword of the Spirit to gain clarity again, to remember what I should. And then we reject the temptation. And sometimes that's saying no very strongly. Maybe I say no by relaxing. I need to rest in God. There's different ways that different temptations need to be handled, but I reject it and I release myself from its grip. This was the slide that was in that lesson last month, and it was the slide that I spent like 2 minutes on, and I wish that I had had more time, and I didn't in that lesson. But this is really, I think, the solution that helps. I recognize that it's going on, and then I remember the things I'm supposed to so that when I'm like this, I can regain the clarity that I should. No, David, you don't have to kill Nabal and his house because he insulted you. You know, you need to relax. You need to stop and put down your sword. You know, that kind of thing that Abigail helped him with in that story. Recognize it, remember God's word, and then reject the temptation. Okay, so here's what we shouldn't do, what not to do. We fixate, we forget, we give into the folly. Here's what to do: recognize, remember, reject. So here's the question of today's lesson, is how does being watchful in prayer help with all these things in this right column? How does being watchful in prayer help me to overcome temptations, recognizing and remembering and rejecting? Well, maybe I could ask it this way. In this list, in this process of recognizing what's going on and remembering and rejecting it, where would praying help in this process? Where in here would saying a prayer or being watchful in prayer, where would it help? Maybe like everywhere, every step. So we've been hitting on this today, right? Pray before the temptation comes to be ready for it. So before the temptation's even there, I'm praying about it. I'm being mindful of that, watchful for it, because the devil's prowling like a roaring lion. And then when you see it start to happen, you know, you can pray there when you're recognizing it. Ask God for help. And then when you're trying to reject it, you know, praying for strength to be able to do that. Oh, and it's very difficult to say no, to reject that, to release yourself from the grip of that temptation. Praying in that as well. See, the prayer needs to be a part of this, really, essentially at all stages, right? For you to be able to do that. And maybe most importantly is to arm ourselves and guard ourselves so that I'm more aware of it. Oh yeah, I'm doing that thing again. I just prayed about that. And all of that to be a watchful, spiritual process. So here's the point. The point is we should be praying all day. I need to be alert to the fact that the temptation is going to come. You know it's going to come. It's going to be there. So be watchful for that, praying all the time. We're praying to be ready for that when it does show up. Not if it shows up. It's going to show up. So I'm praying to be ready for that. And when it finally comes, I'm praying when that does come across. So I'm using prayer all day, just like I'm using the shield of faith all day. I'm using the sword of the Spirit all day to combat these temptations. Because here is what the Word of God tells us. Prayer can pull you out of the lure of the flesh, the temptations that assail us. Here's a couple verses from Psalm 119. These are directed to God. These are prayers. God, please, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. God, help me to do the right thing and put those false things, those false ways far away from me. Psalm 119:88. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Give me that life so that I can do your word, that I can carry out your commandments. Give me that help. They see that being watchful in prayer? He's not praying in the midst of it. Well, maybe he's in the crisis, but all the more. In the crisis, before the crisis, he's praying these things. Help me, God. So you get the lesson. And that is the lesson. What are some practical applications about this? We need to be grounded in prayer before the trial comes. That's really kind of the idea. So in the last lesson, talking about the sword of the Spirit, and I get zoomed in on this thing, and I fixate on it, and I kept using the example of your kid, right? Your kid does that thing one more time, and you know that if he does that one more time, you're going to snap, right? And it's almost as if there were a physical button that were to activate, you know, your rage, and they're like going crazy on the button, right? When that happens, you can't pause the world and go have a 30-minute prayer session. You see, at that point, you need to be grounded already. Grounded before that moment comes. That's the idea. That's what's going to help us so much. So always pray in difficult moments. And have God's word stored up in your heart. Have that sword ready, just like Jesus did in the wilderness. He responded with the word of God. But he was there in the desert praying too, right? I mean, he's there in constant in prayer in the desert. And then when those temptation comes, he's using God's word. He's stored up that word in his heart to keep from doing the wrong thing. So we're going to help ourselves by praying all day before that moment comes. That's the difference between being watchful in prayer versus having prayers of that shotgun prayer that's not really being aware of the needs that I'm going to have for the day. I need to be aware, and we need to be honest. Am I kind of aware of that? I mean, maybe it'd be helpful for us just to sit and think, What are the things that I keep falling in or keep failing in? Or what are my struggles? Would it help to sit down and even write them down, right? This is what's going on in my life. And this is what I need help with. And just to be aware of, you know, knowing is half the battle or whatever. You know, being aware of that. And this is what's going on in my life. So being aware is good, but maybe it's also just being honest with yourself, right? Am I being honest with myself that I'm not really treating my parents right, or treating my kids right, or treating my spouse right, or doing the right thing on the job? Am I being honest with myself what my struggles really are? So how can I be praying about my struggles if I won't even admit it to myself? No, I'm a great kid. I'm a great dad. Whatever it is, yeah. I need to be honest with myself. And here's the thing, though. Don't worry about being honest with yourself. Don't worry about being honest with God. Probably the harder thing might be being honest with yourself. But when you realize, you know, I've been failing in that. You know, God saw that all along. You're never going to tell God something he doesn't know. But God, you know, just like any relationship, the point is not just factual data communication, right? This is not some internet experiment. It's a relationship with God. So he knows you've been struggling with honesty. But you need to see that. And then talk to God about that. Talk to God and reach out to him. And don't worry about being honest with God. He knows. He wants you to talk to him. Be open with God about those things. Can I be thoughtful about when to be praying at all times? Well, duh, it's all the time. So just do it all the time. Okay, yeah, but let's be more thoughtful about that. When can I be praying all the time? I just walked through a typical morning. What are some moments in here that I can be watchful in prayer about the day when I'm waking up in bed? If you're like me, temptations don't be like, look, I'm going to give 15 minutes. And then I'm coming. No, sometimes it's you're waking up and those temptations are right there before you're even out of bed. And so even when you're waking up are the things you can be praying about, things you can be reminding yourself of. And if you need that encouragement in the morning, probably need to be thinking about it the night before to prep yourself for that so that you're ready for that. When you're waking up in bed, when you're standing there making the coffee, right? That morning struggle of how do I find the energy to make the coffee when I need the coffee energy to help me make the coffee? Have you thought about it? Anyways, okay. When you're standing there making the coffee, is that a time where you can be thoughtful about the day coming up or you're about to see people? I remember in growing up high school, I thought I was a very patient person. I'm sure I thought I was a morning person because, you know, in high school, I'll get up and I'll get ready and I'll drive to school. I didn't see anyone for like an hour, right? After waking up before I engage with another human. And then I go to college and I have a roommate and I'm having to engage with this person immediately. I'm like, I am not a patient person like I thought I was. You have to deal with people right away. So as you're standing there before you're engaging interpersonally with anyone, what are some things you can be praying about? When you're eating your breakfast, when you're getting ready for the day, when you're on your way to work, you're driving to work, what are some things you can be praying about or thinking about on the drive to work? Is that a good time? You're thinking about all those things that are about to come your way. What about this? Okay, you park, and as you're walking into your job, take those 20 seconds. What is it I'm going to face today? Do you see this? This idea of being watchful in prayer, thinking about what's going to come. Not ignoring that, not putting that in the back burner. Being diligent with that, praying at all times with the armor of God. That is our idea. Well, that's the lesson. This was our scripture reading, Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And here's where I want to go with that, with an invitation. Our flesh is weak. We're weak. We need God's help to be strong and do the right thing. And we have failed. We have failed. We look back at our life and realize, I have not done the right thing. I have sinned. I am guilty before God for all these times. What I have given into sin, I've given into temptation. Here's the hope in Christ. The hope in Christ is we have forgiveness for that. You don't have to go to God with that in your record. You don't have to go to God guilty for these things. For all the times I have let the flesh rule me and I've given into sin and done the wrong thing, in Christ there is forgiveness and hope. That's the joy and the blessing in Christ. That all the times I've sinned, all the times I've done this, like the disciples did in the garden, I can be forgiven of that. Do you need forgiveness? Do you look at your life and see, I have been controlled by my lusts and my passions, my desires and my selfishness, and I need help, I need forgiveness. There is help and forgiveness in Christ. So we want to help you in any way that we can. Can we pray with you? Can we study with you? If you need to let us know your needs even right now, you can come forward as we stand, sing a song of invitation.